Translation. O dear friends, here is that very personality of Godhead whose attractive and confidential pastimes are described in the confidential parts of Vedic literature by his great devotees. It is he only who creates, maintains, and annihilates the material world and yet remains unaffected. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. As it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, all the Vedic literatures are glorifying the greatness of Lord Sri Krishna. Here it is confirmed in the Bhagavatam also. The Vedas are expanded by many branches and sub-branches, by great devotees and empowered incarnations of the Lord like Vyasa Narada, Shukadeva Goswami, the Kumaras, Kapila, Prahlada, Janaka, Bali, and Yamaraj. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam especially, the confidential parts of his pastimes are described by the confidential devotee, Shukadeva Goswami. In the Vedanta Sutras or Upanishads, there is only a hint of the confidential parts of his pastimes. In such Vedic literature as the Upanishads, the Lord has expressly been distinguished from the mundane conception of his existence. His identity being fully spiritual, his form, name, quality, and paraphernalia, etc., have been elaborately distinguished from matter, and therefore he is sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent persons as impersonal. But factually, he is the Supreme Person, Bhagavan, and he is partially represented as Paramatma or impersonal Brahman. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sava ayam sakya nugita satkatho vedeshu guhyeshu saguhya vadi bi chaguhya vadi bi ya eka isho jagadat malila ya srijatya vatyati natatra sajate. O dear friends, here is that very personality of Godhead whose attractive and confidential pastimes are described in the confidential parts of the Vedic literature by his great devotees. He only creates, maintains, and annihilates the material world and yet remains unaffected. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarine Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ajanu lambita pujau kanakavadatu sankirtanai kapitaro kamalaya taksha vishvambaro dvijavaro yugadharma palo vande jagat priyakaro karunavataro yandah pravishya mamavachim imam prasuptam sanjeevaya takila shakti darasvadamna anyam shahasta charana shravanat vagadim pranannamo bhagavate purushaya tumi. Hare Krishna. So, in this verse, the ladies of Hastinapur are glorifying Krishna while he is going through the streets of Hastinapur, leaving the city. In general, chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, starting from the seventh chapter till the 19th chapter, the last 12 chapters of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, are describing the knowledge and renunciation of the devotees. The whole first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is actually the description of Praman Tattva. Not Praman Tattva, sorry. Adhikar Tattva. The whole topic of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is the description of Adhikar, the qualification to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Before commencing the whole description of Krishna's pastimes, ultimately, in the 10th canto, Srila Sutta Goswami is describing what should be our qualification to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. And from the very beginning, Srila Vyasadeva says, Paramauni Ramatsaranam Satam. The main qualification which you should acquire is the freedom from envy. Because here in this material world, we are very deeply immersed in this envious mentality. We have this competitive spirit. The word matsarya means competition. Somebody is better than me. And we are very much accustomed to look at other living entities and at other human beings, especially in this spirit. But that's completely opposite to love. To understand Krishna, you have to understand what is Krishna. Krishna is love. Krishna is love personified. And of course, Radha is love personified. But you cannot understand Krishna and his love unless you still are stubborn to insist that I should compete with others, that I should look down at others, rather than serve others. And therefore, paramo nirmatsaranam satam, to understand Bhagavatam, you have to be nirmatsarya. You have to acquire this quality. And next, the whole first canto is being described, and especially the last 12 chapters where the qualification of Shukadev Goswami, the main speaker, and Maharaja Parikshit, the main hearer of Srimad Bhagavatam, is being described. And again, the qualification is bhakti. To understand Krishna, you need to have bhakti. To understand Srimad Bhagavatam, you need to have bhakti. You have to be free from matsarya. But it's very difficult to see bhakti. How you can see if somebody has bhakti? Bhakti is the internal feeling. So, but this internal feeling externally manifests as jnana and vairagya. You can judge that somebody has bhakti by his knowledge and his renunciation. If somebody is very much attached to this material world, it's a good indication that he doesn't have too much bhakti. knowledge is also a natural outcome of bhakti. It is said in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Janayata Shuvairagyam Gyanam Chayadahai Tukam. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. If somebody has this Bhakti Yoga towards Vasudev, if somebody develops this Bhakti towards Vasudev, then Jnana and Vairagya becomes as a natural outcome of Bhakti. And therefore, by describing the description of qualification for understanding Srimad Bhagavatam here is by describing the knowledge of the devotees and renunciation of the devotees. The 6 chapters out of this 12, starting from the 7th chapter till the 12th chapter, is the description of the knowledge of the devotees, and starting from the 13th chapter, it's the description of renunciation of the devotees. These two qualities, jnana and vairagya. So here we see how the ladies, the simple women, or maybe not so simple, of Hastinapur are manifesting their knowledge. Because again, if you have devotion, if you have bhakti, then the knowledge naturally will come. You will understand who is God. You will see God and you will understand. Here's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So many people have seen Krishna when Krishna manifested. When Krishna came here as an avatar. Avatar means sarva mam pasyatu. Let everyone see me. Even those fools who don't understand anything about me, let them see me. So he shows himself, but while seeing him, it's not necessarily that you will understand. Here is God, who has created this whole material world and who is destroying this material world, maintains this material world. Not necessarily. Only if you have devotion, then by seeing him, you will understand that's God. So here they are, and they're looking at Krishna, and they're saying, this is God. This is God. And only in the very confidential parts of the Vedas, you can really understand. Through confidential parts of the Vedas, you can understand him. his personality. Vedeshu guhyeshu cha guhyavadi bih. Or, cha means, in this particular case, or if the confidential devotees would like to describe to you him, then only you can understand him. Actually, what is being described in these parts of their prayers, they're more or less explaining how you can understand God. They themselves understand. They have no doubt. They see Krishna, and they say, oh my goodness, that's God. He's just walking here. But they also, by their prayers, they understand or they explain why it is so difficult to understand God. Why so many people don't understand God. And they say, because it's very confidential. The understanding of the personality of Godhead is not so simple as Prabhupada says, because even in the Shrutis, he's only hinted. His personality is only hinted. And Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita says, first of all, he says, Vidaischa sarvairaham eva vidyo. The whole Vedic literature is about me. But then he says, in the very last verse of the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says that this Purushottam, and the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called Purushottam Yoga, the yoga of the Supreme Personality. And then in the very last verse, he says, this Purushottam is explained, the personality of Godhead is explained in the most confidential Guhyatamam Shastram, in the very confidential parts, which are very difficult to understand. And therefore, so many people have this misunderstanding that ultimately the Supreme Truth is impersonal. It's not an easy thing, and you have to be privy to the confidential secrets of the Vedas through the confidential devotees. It's very important and essential in this particular verse to understand that the ladies of Hastinapur, they stress this point that you can understand him if you know the secrets of the Vedas spoken by Guhyavadi Bih, those who know these secrets. There is a very interesting story in Moksha Dharma of Mahabharata, where again the same subject matter is being described, how to understand God. Maharaja Yudhishthira asked this question from Bhishma Dev, how to understand God? What is the secret of understanding God? And In answer to this question, Bhishma Dev starts telling the story that once Uparicharavasu, father of Satyavati, a great king and great devotee, wanted to perform Ashwamedha Yagya. It's favorite pastime in the previous. All the kings were doing this, Ashwamedha Yagyas and all kinds of Yagyas. So, and he employed Brihaspati himself. Actually, it's not the father of Satyavati. It's probably some other Uparicharavasu from the previous age. But doesn't matter. Some king named Uparicharavasu was performing this Ashwamedha sacrifice, and he employed priest of the demigods, Brihaspati, in performing this yagya. And there were also sons of Brihaspati, Ekata, Dvita, and Trita. They have very simple names, the first, second, and the third one. So this is probably Brihaspati had many sons, and to distinguish between them, he called them first, second, third. Anyway, so the interesting thing happened when the last oblation was poured into this fire. Then all the demigods came and personally took the oblations, took the sacrificial gifts which Brihaspati would give to them. And Vishnu also came. And Vishnu also took his share. But all the demigods were seen to everyone, but Vishnu was unseen. Only Uparicharavasu saw Vishnu personally. He saw that the figure, the roop, the form of Vishnu who comes and takes his sacrificial share, and he smiled at Uparicharavasu and was very happy. And, you know, Uparicharavasu became ecstatic. He started laughing and singing and dancing. And nobody else could see Vishnu, including Brihaspati. And Brihaspati became very angry. He said, what's going on? I'm the priest here. I'm the main figure. You know, this king, he is just a fallen grihastha. he is just a rich man. He's enjoying life. I am the main person here. How dare he not to show himself to me? Why he is showing himself to somebody else, not to me? And he was so angry that he just threw his ladle into the air, you know. You can imagine how angry he was. And then his sons started reasoning him and pacifying him. And they were saying, you know, my dear father, please, you know, calm down. Because you cannot really see the Supreme Lord if you are angry. Because Supreme Lord is completely free from anger. So if you manifest this anger, you know, something is wrong with you. I mean, they didn't say that something is wrong with you. But they say, calm down, calm down. You cannot see the Lord by your own efforts. Only if he wants to show himself to you, he will show. He is completely independent. You cannot demand that the Lord will show himself to you. And then they told another story, which is usual for Mahabharata. Somebody tells one story, and then somebody else in this story tells another story until you're completely bewildered who is telling what. That's a methodology which is employed in Vedic literature, which is actually important for us because we have to be a little bewildered to understand Vedic literature in a good sense. But anyway, it's another topic. So then they started telling to Brihaspati the story about themselves. They said, once we were also under this illusion that we will be able to see God just by performing austerities. Sometimes we have this understanding that, you know, let's do this, you know, let's show everyone how great I am. And then Krishna will have to show himself to me. So they said to Brihaspati, we were performing severe austerities for thousands and thousands of years. And as a result of these austerities, the fruit of these austerities came, and we heard the voice from the sky. Go to Shvetadvip. Go to this white island. And on this white island, where the very pure people live, you will be able to see the Lord. So they said, we went north, to the North Pole and the universe, and ultimately we came to this white island. And in this white island, we saw very pure people indeed. And these very pure people, they were all white. Probably was England, I guess. Whatever it was. This Shvetadvip was very white, and everyone was very white, was very pure, very completely sinless. And all these sinless people, they were worshipping the Lord. And they were very effulgent. And at one point, and we were looking around and, you know, looking at these people, and nobody saw us. And then at one point, we saw that all the these white people, they're running somewhere. And the whole crowd is running and running, and the whole crowd gathered together of these people. And in the center, they started, you know, chanting the prayers, and they were worshiping, and they were doing something. And in the middle of this, we could realize that they all see the Lord. Because we saw the very bright effulgence, and we were blinded by this effulgence, but we couldn't see the Lord. But all of them, they saw the Lord, we couldn't see the Lord. And and then, you know, for some time that was going on, the Lord revealed himself to all these pure people, and they were worshiping and exchanging with him, and he was saying something to them, they were saying something to him, but we couldn't see them. And then, and this is the most important part of the whole story, and then, you know, this whole thing finished, and all these people, they started going back, and they were going back as if we didn't exist. They didn't see us. We couldn't see the Lord, and they didn't see us. And they said to Brihaspati, look, you know, and then again they heard the voice, and, you know, it didn't work this time, you know. So even though I promised that you would see the Lord, but probably it's too premature for you to see the Lord. But the main meaning of this pastime is that they said, why we couldn't see the Lord? Because the devotees who could see the Lord didn't see us. Because they didn't pay attention, they didn't really look at us. The idea which is also expressed here, you can only understand the Lord and see the Lord if you get the merciful glance of a devotee. you can only get this very confidential secret, videshu guhyeshu, of the scriptures through those confidential devotees, if you get their mercy. If they don't care about you, if they don't see you, by some reason, they are independent. They are as much as dependent as the Lord himself. Then you will never be able to understand the Supreme Lord. Only by their mercy you will be able to understand this. So that's the point of this whole story which is being described, and the point of this verse that all Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. You will only be able to understand this Anugita Satkatha, which is described in the confidential parts of the Vedas, if you get the merciful glance of a devotee. If you obtain the mercy of the devotee through your service attitude and through your whatever, but not necessarily because they are independent. Giriraj Maharaj, he tells a story about himself, how he became a devotee and how he understood. He said that he was a student in a hostel, and in his room he was interested in Eastern philosophy, and of course Eastern philosophy means Mayavad. And in his room in the university there was a poster, and in this poster it was written, "You are God." So to remind him that he is God. So, and then he saw that there was some announcement in a hostel or in a campus that some Indian Swami will come there, and he decided to see and to check out what is this Indian Swami. And Prabhupada came, and there was program, there was kirtan, Prabhupada gave a lecture. And then the lecture stopped, and Prabhupada asked, "Is there any question?" And Giriraj Maharaj, he asked he raised his hand and he said, "How to understand God? Please tell me how can I understand God?" And Srila Prabhupada looked at him and he said, "It really depends what you want. If you want to become God, you will never understand God." So Prabhupada could see through him. And he was shocked. He was really shocked. So he started associating with devotees, and gradually, he became a devotee, even though it was a little difficult for him to get rid of his prejudice, which was there from his previous thing. And then next time when Prabhupada came, he was already a brahmachari, and he was there, and he met Prabhupada, and Prabhupada recognized him to his surprise, because before he only saw him during this lecture. And Prabhupada says, "Oh, you're here. Very nice, very nice." And he said, "Prabhupada, you recognize me?" He said, "Yes, yes. You asked this stupid question." And I thought, such a nice boy, let him become a devotee. So, again, the point here is that you can only understand God if you get the mercy of a devotee. And therefore, this ladies in Hastinapur, they say, "Videsu guhyesu cha guhyavadi bih." If you are listening this Anugita Satkatha, if you're listening this Satkatha from the lips of the devotee, and you serve this Satkatha, this confidential pastimes of the Lord, by listening what the great devotees are here to describe, then only you will understand then only you will understand. Ya eka isho jagadat malilaya srijatya vatti natatra sajjate. So that's the second part of the verse, because they say, and it's amazing what they say, because you know, they see in front of themselves Krishna, who looks like human being, who looks very human-like, and they say, "Oh no, don't be confused, because this Eka Isha." Sometimes, many times, people have this misunderstanding that in Hinduism there are many gods. You know, but the ladies of Hastinapur, they know that there is only one God. Not everyone knows this. Once Shankaracharya of Kanchi, I believe, one of the followers or present Acharya, Shankaracharya of Kanchi, came to Moscow. And we were speaking with him, and he was describing beautiful katha from Srimad Bhagavatam. He was quoting Shukadev Goswami, and he was quoting this verse. What is it? Karnayo karnikaram vibratvasaha kanaka kapesham vajayantim chamalam, describing the beautiful form of Vishnu, you know, doing beautiful katha he was describing. And then he called me separately and he said, you know, "You're a knowledgeable person, all these devotees, they don't know anything. And your Swami, he was very clever. He knew that there's many gods. But because you are all people from this Christian background, he came to the West and he said there is only one God. But he himself knew the truth." There is actually, in Hinduism, there is many gods. So he revealed to me the confidential truth according to his understanding. But it is said here that they say, "Ya eka isho jagadatma lilaya." There is only one God. There is not many gods. There is only one God, and He creates and maintains and destroys this world because of His lila. This is His lila. Why this confusion is there? Because, as it is said here, that all these Mayavadis, who are Mayavadis because they have envy. Prabhupada many times, he would stress this point that Mayavad is the fourth stage of the disease. Like cancer has four stages. And if you reach the fourth stage, then you're basically finished. So Prabhupada says that this disease of envy towards the Lord, ultimately towards the Lord, has four stages. And he said, Mayavad is the fourth stage of the disease when you think, "I am God." That's practically incurable, if you think. So they cannot understand this, and therefore this whole philosophy is being developed that the ultimate cause of all causes is this Brahman, not the personality of Godhead, not Bhagavan, not the Eka Isha, the only God, but the impersonal Brahman. But how impersonal Brahman? A very simple question can be asked. How and why all of a sudden impersonal Brahman would create this world? Just think about it. There is this impersonal Brahman. Why would he create the world? Give me one reason. He is impersonal, therefore he cannot... To create something, at least four things should be in place. First of all, the desire to create, right? Why would impersonal Brahman has a desire to create? He's impersonal Brahman. He doesn't have any desire. First of all, you have to have desire to create. Second of all, you have to have knowledge to how to create. Third of all, you have to have skills, not just theoretical knowledge about this world. You have to have skills to create. And fourth, you have to have the ability to create. You have to have energy to create. These four things is the characteristic of the personality. Impersonal Brahman doesn't have desire, doesn't have energy, doesn't have anything. Impersonal Brahman doesn't have anything. It's just, you know, Shankaracharya says that you cannot say anything about impersonal Brahman. You cannot even say that he exists, because by saying that he exists, you can say he, you know. You can say anything. Basically, it's just nothing. So there is this confusion that this impersonal Brahman can create, and therefore it is very clearly said in Prabhupada says that in Vedanta Sutra and other Vedic literature, the hint is there about the personality of Godhead. Lokavat tu lila kaivalyam. Why this world is created? Lila. Lokavat tu lila kaivalyam. Because of the lila of the Supreme Lord. Who has lila? Brahman doesn't have lila. You know, what kind of lila it is? Sometimes impersonalists say that, you know, this I'm God and this is my lila. You know, I am a human being, you know, the Brahman has this lila, you know, the part of Brahman, anyway, whatever it is. It's a very strange lila. You know, this is my lila to be born in the 21st century in England and to get some cancer at the end. This is my glorious lila. So ridiculous. But anyway, Vedanta Sutra itself says, Lokavat tu lila kaivalyam. Why this world is created? Because that's the lila of the Lord. This is the lila of the Supreme Lord. And you can only understand this lila, the meaning of this lila, why we are here. What is the meaning of my existence here? If we get rid of this envy towards the Lord, and if we understand that ultimately this whole lila of creation is to bring us to Him, to correct us. What happens if we don't understand that this is the lila of the Lord and this is ultimately the mercy of the Lord towards us, we will never understand the meaning of creation. Why this world was created, why this world is being maintained. We will always be envious of the Lord, and we will always say that, you know, either Lord doesn't exist, or, you know, it's so bad, this world is so horrible, and I have to suffer here. But if we understand that this is the beautiful lila of the most merciful personality of Godhead, who wants, who hankers for our personal relationship. And therefore he creates this world. Therefore he has created this whole world as his lila, his srishti lila, to bring us closer to him. Then only we will be able to understand him. And therefore, in the further parts of the prayers, they manifest more confidential knowledge. Because here, the ladies of Hastinapur, they talk about Aishwarya Gyan. That he is the Supreme Lord who has created this world. But then they say, what is the essence, what is the meaning of this creation? Ultimately, to bring us closer to God. And therefore, in the later part of their prayers, they will speak about Madhurya Gyan, about the dealings of the Lord, personality of Godhead with his confidential devotees. So ultimately, that's the meaning of these prayers. They want to give us the hint how to understand the Lord and to come closer to them. For that, we have to listen the great devotees and enter into personal relationship with the great devotees by serving them. And by serving the great devotees, by serving them, we will be able to understand that God is ultimately person, not only person, but very merciful person. That He is waiting for us, and He is actually wants to manifest His mercy to us by entering into the loving relationship with us. And in this way, we will be able to ourselves go to this abode where His pastimes are being conducted even now, or understand that His pastimes are even now going on, and we can enter into this pastime, understand this Madhurya Gyan about the Lord. Anyway, thank you very much. Is there any question?